It's in John, even in the book of Acts, you see the mission of the Lord Jesus, and that's to take people to heaven. Amen. So in John chapter 2, it's the first miracle of Jesus. The third day, verse 1 talks about after that calling of Nathanael. And the Lord had been in the wilderness being tempted of the devil 40 days. And what did the Lord tell the devil there? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He also said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, but you're to worship the Lord thy God. And so this is after that, the third day, and he is getting ready to perform his first miracle of his public ministry. I'm sure there are other ones we don't know about. We'll know a little bit when we get to heaven. Amen. But in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of John, do you have it? Say amen. Amen. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. So she showed up to the wedding. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So I'd like to just pause and say, he puts his stamp of approval on marriage. The bed is the marriage is honorable. The bed is undefiled, the Holy Scriptures say. And he showed up to honor this marriage, this wedding. In verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. So I want to talk about the Lord's mission. The Lord is on a mission today. Kind of reminds me of Dan Lemon. He calls his wife sometimes woman. Amen. But it was a tender expression. It wasn't to be harsh or anything. And we'll look into this subject in John chapter 2. But let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your blessings and grateful for our country, Lord. It's still a great country, the best that I know of in the world today. I thank you for men and women who serve in our country. But Lord Jesus, I thank you for laying down your life on the cross on a hill called Mount Calvary. Lord, you were nailed there and shed your blood and suffered and bled and took our sin in your body on the tree. And then you died. You gave it up, Lord, and was buried. Third day you came out of the tomb with victory, Lord, and freedom for all if we just trust in you as our only Savior. I thank you for the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and Lord, may we be a help today. Lord, only we can do that if you help us. And so, Lord, we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. This little corner of Galilee called Cana, the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples, verse 2, to the marriage. Here they go, to the wedding. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And you remember when he was on the cross, he said, woman, behold thy son, talking about John. And so it's a term of endearment. And he's going to perform this first miracle in his public ministry. I would like to say he is on a mission. His hour had not yet come there. But if you go over a little bit to the right to chapter 17, John chapter 17, you see that his hour is come in verse number 1. I love John chapter 17. Because it's the high priestly prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer, the model prayer. But really, this is really the prayer right before he goes to the cross. And just hours before, and if you look in verse 1 of 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And he was getting ready to die for our sins, the sins of the world. Your sins and my sins. Amen. And all the sinners of the world, the Hitlers and the Ted Bundys and all of those who are committed great sins and transgressions and iniquities. And Jesus saw that coming on him. He said, the hour is come. Remember, he went through that betrayal Judas betraying him and with a kiss, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord Jesus went through that, and they led him up, and they stripped him, and they scourged him with a cat of nine tails. You remember that? To a whipping post, and then led him up Calvary's hill, and there Jesus would pay the debt that we owed on the cross of Calvary. I just like to say, I thank God for the cross. The cross is evidence that he loved you and me. And it's evidence that he laid down his life on that old rugged cross. And we do serve a great God today because of that. But what's his mission? If you look in verse 24 of chapter 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You can go back to chapter 2. Do you realize he loves you today? I love Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what you've done in the past or the present or the future, he loved you before the foundations of the world. And so I'm thankful for that great love. He's on a mission, and that mission is to take you to heaven. I hope you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. I hope you know that, because the trumpet could blow right today as I'm preaching. Wouldn't that be a great thing? And he could snatch up those who believed already. I want you to know, if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you can know. You say, how do you know that? Through this blessed Bible right here. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Ye may know that you have eternal life. And so he's on a mission to take you to heaven. You're invited to the wedding celebration, the feast, because of what the Lord did, and because he's already finished that on the cross. The book of John 19 tells us. And so he's on a mission to take you to heaven. I'm thankful for the man that received a track out here not too far from this place. He heard the good news of the gospel, and he came and he got saved. Going to get baptized next week. His life has changed. He's got a Bible. He's studying, learning, changing his life because of what Jesus did for him. I'm thankful that Jesus still saves. Amen. Amen. And he can still save you. He's not finished. He's on a mission. He's looking for it. You look at verse 3 through 5. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. So he's able, verse 5, his mother saith unto him, the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, we should have that same question. Whatever God wants us to do, do it. Amen. What does he want us to do? To repent. That's right. Turn from our way and the world and turn to the Lord. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Brother Gray, what does he want all of us to do? To be born again. Except you're born again, ye shall not even see the kingdom of heaven. So he wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord. That Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I can't save you, but there is one who can, and he's got you in his sights, and he's on a mission to get you to heaven. And if you'll just listen to him, if you'll just trust him, it's not in trying to work out your salvation. You can't work anything to get to heaven. Religion won't get you to heaven. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. So whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there, verse 6, were set there, six water pots of stone. Now, these were pretty big water pots. About a 55-gallon barrel size. It says firkins. Firkins was 9 gallons, somewhere around 9 gallons. These water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, because what in that day, what did they do? They washed people's feet. They washed people's hands. They had to haul it from the springs and the wells to get the water. And they had a good crowd there. Usually a wedding lasted about 7 days. I don't think it lasted that long here in the city of Cana. But it was a big thing when one had a wedding. And these water pots were there. Jesus saith unto them, verse 7, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. There was a lot of water when he filled it up. The servants filled it up, and Jesus turned it into wine. Now, I'll tell you right now, I don't believe it was alcoholic. I don't. Because Jesus said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and they're deceived thereby. He also says, be not filled in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with your ways, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I think it was non-alcoholic, and Jesus didn't advocate drinking wine. There wasn't a wild party there. But if you look at the laws of fermentation in those days, new wine, it was called wine, which is fresh squeezed grape juice. And there was a lot of it. These barrels, these stone vessels held a lot. Let's go on down through here. There were two or three firkins, which means if there were two or three and 9 gallons, I mean up to 27 gallons, and you had these six, you're talking a lot of water, aren't you? That was turned into wine. And he says in verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Now something about these water pots, these stone vessels, we can see. It's just an earthen vessel, just a plain water pot, a simple vessel, if you will. Can I tell you this? It's not in the pot, it's in the potter. Amen. The Lord is the one that can do a miracle in your life. He's the one that can change you. Sometimes people come and they look for the extraordinary, or they look for something spectacular, and really all they need is a simple gospel message from the Word of God. It's not what man says, it's what God says. Amen. And can I tell you, maybe the Lord's calling you into the ministry, calling you to preach. It's not your ability. A lot of times, it's your availability. It's your dependability. Amen. And God can take your little and make it much. Go over to 1 Corinthians when he talks about vessels and being used to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to pick it up in verse 20. We'll go back. Where is the wise? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, it's what God says that matters. And God uses a preacher to say what he says. The power is in the scripture. Amen. It's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, verse 23, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. I'll tell you what, pride cometh before a fall. If you have pride in your heart, or if you think you're better than somebody else, or that you've got it all together, can I tell you right now, you're getting ready to go down a long, hard road. Because God hates pride, He tells us that. He says, but foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base, what are base things? That are humble things. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. There was a king one time that took the glory instead of giving it to God, and God let him get eat up by worms. Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in who? The Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, I remember Moses, when God got a hold of him and called him, He said, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh this and that. And Moses says, I can't speak, Lord. And He said He would send Aaron, right? But what God calls you to do, He will enable you to do. And God can take just a stone vessel, maybe two or three firkins, somewhere around 20-some gallons. He can take that, fill it up with water, turn it in to something better, amen? Fresh squeezed grape juice, I believe. And He can take your life and use your life for the cause of Christ. He won't use the ones that think they got it all together. He'll use the base ones. He'll use the humble ones, because God wants to get the glory. Amen. So go back to John chapter 2. And this, Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And He goes on, He says, get these water pots, fill them up. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Just like that, God can do a miracle. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. I tell you, when Jesus changes your life, it's going to be good. It's going to be better. Amen. I'm thankful for what He can do. His touch can do. Yes, that verse over in Ephesians, and be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. And when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes in you. And it says here in verse 10 again, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Do you remember when you, let me just say this, Jesus is the joy of our life, amen. There's some symbolism there that He's the wine, He's the joy that we get. But when you take a drink of the Lord, you taste of the Lord and see He is good, He's the only one that can give you that satisfaction. He is the water of life. And in verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, His disciples believed on Him. So there were people believing and getting saved. And then He goes right into this, and He goes into where He takes the cord. It's kind of like the same cord that they used to scourge Him, the whipping cord. And He's going to chase out the money changers. He's going to chase out those who were selling the doves and the pigeons and the lambs for too high of a price. They were taking advantage of the people of God. And you know what? God hates that, doesn't He? He hates usury. These people were traveling a long way. A lot of times they couldn't bring the lamb. They couldn't bring their animals. It would have been too hard and too far to travel on foot. So they had these there in the temple because they had to present a sacrifice, once a year, and they would have to buy those. And because of the taxes and the government and all of that, they jacked up the prices of the sacrifices. You know, there are some religions out there that sell indulgences. In other words, if you want to get your sins forgiven, you have to pay this much and pay that much. That's not in the Bible, I'll tell you what. And God has a problem with that, and He chased out those money changers. You know, a church should not be in it for money or merchandising, making the house of God of merchandising. And you'll see that in verse 12. After this, He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple. I don't believe He sinned. He had some righteous anger there. Amen. And He was doing right. He never sinned. He's pure and holy. I said Jesus never sinned. I said Jesus never sinned. I'll say it again. He never sinned. But He did right. He was righteous. He was always right. And He chased them out. It says in verse 15, and when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep of the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not My Father's house an house of merchandise. And His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten Me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. I'd like just to clear off a spot right here just for a few moments and give you the gospel. Amen. I hope I've already given it to you. But Jesus did rise up. He did rise up from the dead. Muhammad didn't rise up from the dead. That's a false religion. Amen. Buddha didn't rise up from the... Those founders of all those false religions, they're still in the grave. But Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, just like He said. And that's the kind of God we serve. You can't keep Him down. And he's the one that brought Lazarus out of the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He had to say Lazarus' name, because if He would have just said, come forth, all the bodies in the tomb would have came forth. The power of God. And so here, He chases out these money changers, those that had the wrong spirit, those that were betraying, those that were in it for the gain. And He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Verse 20, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. I'm thankful for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus on this communion table right down here. It says, this do in remembrance of Me. And you know, communion can never save you or wash your sins away. It's a picture, it's an ordinance of what Jesus did on the cross. But if you trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And He'll help you. He'll take you to heaven. Verse 22, let's see if we can finish. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture. Do you believe the Scripture? And they believed the Scripture and the Word which Jesus had said. In this blessed old King James Bible, we have His Word. We have the Holy Scriptures that helped us to believe, as from a child, it says in Timothy. Now, when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in His name. And when they saw the miracles which He did, you know, when Jesus goes on a mission, it's going to be mission accomplished. Amen. He's going to get it done. A lot of missions in this world we live don't get accomplished, don't get finished. But Jesus, when He did something, He finished it, just like He said on the cross of Calvary. And many believed, and that's His heart. He wants to have you in heaven. And you can go to heaven, just like these who have recently trusted Jesus in our church. And when they saw the miracles which He did, verse 24, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. You have the omniscience of Almighty God right here. Can I tell you, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. And He knows what you're going through today. He knows you. He knows what is in man. He knows if you're real. When the brother came in today, I call him my brother because he's my brother in Christ. He understood the mystery of the gospel, which the Bible says is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when my brother came in and we were talking about salvation and growing in grace, I told him this morning, it's real to you, isn't it? You truly did trust Jesus Christ. And he said, yeah, it was real. I did come to the Lord right here at this altar. And I hope if you're saved, you can say in your heart, yes, it was real the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Because He knows, in verse 25, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. You know what I believe? I believe, my opinion, that Nicodemus was in that crowd, was at that wedding, and he saw the miracle of the water being changed into wine. And Nicodemus was there when he saw and heard Jesus talking about raising up the temple, raising up His body. He was there, and you go right into chapter number 3 saying there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the rulers of the Jews. And you know what? Nicodemus got saved too, didn't he? Why? Why is Jesus on a mission? So that others might believe. We won't turn there, but in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning His promise, but He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to say that Jesus cares for you. He cares for you now, and when you get saved, He still cares for you, doesn't He? And Jesus knows His children. And listen, Jesus led you to this church today. It's like that man recently. He got a track. He came here, had some things going on in his life. He heard the simple gospel, came down here and got saved. But you can get saved right in your pew where you're at, can't you? As long as it's from your heart and it's real. What are you saying, Pastor? Jesus led you to this church. Why did He lead you to this church? He led you to this church for a reason. Can I get an amen? Amen? It was a reason. And He knows. He knows all the reasons. So get your joy from Jesus, not man. Jesus will provide for you what is needed. There at that wedding, they needed some refreshment. And Jesus gave the best refreshment, fresh squeezed grape juice, which was in sometimes called wine, different forms of it and all of that. But I believe Jesus performed this miracle, and He can perform miracles in your life too. Does Jesus still have the power?
Amen.
Yes. He's the same, the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The greatest miracle is when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. The greatest of all miracles. So, in Moses' day, what did Jesus do? What did God do? He turned the water into blood for those Egyptians that hardened their heart and wouldn't turn to the Lord. But in here, in this chapter, chapter number 2, and I'm done, He turned the water into wine. The devil wants to turn your good into bad. I said the devil wants to turn your good into bad. But God wants to turn the bad, that's anything that we have. He wants to turn the bad into not only the good, but the good, the better, and the best. And God can do that because He's a great God. And what? He's on a mission. He's on a mission to take you to heaven so you can be where He is one day. And I hope you let Him work in your life. I hope you accept Him and trust Him. Say yes to Him today. Let's stand together.